ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
We look at the prayer of faith tonight. Can we just open our Bibles to 1 John 5? You know, one thing that I have loved about our church here is you come into the service, so people pick songs. So the mistress, they pick songs, and then someone leads a prayer, and then by the time you are looking at your notes, the note is already preached. So I'm so glad the choice of songs, the things that the direction we have. Wasn't it so refreshing to just go through that awesome time of worship? Praise God. So 1 John chapter 5, we read from verses 11 to 15. 1 John chapter 5, we read from verses 11 to 15. Other rendering, I can't remember. He said, this is what God has said. But this one, the New King James Version, it says, and this is the testimony. What is that testimony? That God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And He said, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. He said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Say now, when you do the preceding verses, say now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, the giver of that life, the sharer of that life. He said, what is that confidence? That when we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So Christianity is not goofiness. It's not spookiness. We are sharing in the life of God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are sharing God's life. I mean, you read the lines of those songs talking about this eternal life, which is Zoe, the God kind of life. As we share it, He said there is divine direction in that life. As we share it with Him, He said there is healing in that life. As we share it with Him, He said there is deliverance, there is victory, there is favor. Christianity is sharing the life of God. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the popular scripture, the thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may share this life, and they may live it abundantly. So, the first encouragement here tonight, as we begin to look at the different kinds of prayer, is as a believer in Christ, is just a pre to my message. Please, expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Expect it. So, Christianity is not something that is not touchable. Expect to be led. You are sharing in the life of God. So expect to be led by His Spirit. And one safe place to be is that you put premium on the word of God, and then you pray in tongues every day. So if you do those two things, which is your safe haven, expect to be led. In Romans 8:14, he said, as many as are led, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. God can share his life with us. So, expect to be led. So when it comes to the subject of prayer, we do just not use words. Don't pray because it's been encouraged that you should pray. Pray because you are sharing in the life of God. When we pray, when we spend time with the Lord in prayer, and spend time in praying in tongues, what we are literally doing is that we are praying out his plan and his purposes for our lives. What we are doing when we pray, if we are rooted in the word of God, we are praying to be in alignment with the plan and purposes of God for our lives. So, faith does not deny facts. Your faith, my faith in God, it doesn't deny facts. But what does the word say? In the play, in the face of contrary expectation, I think that's where the faith wins the battle. So I have symptoms. I don't have, but I have evidence. I have facts that something is wrong with me in the physical. You know where the faith swallows it up? There is a shift, a contest. The contest is that what does the word of God say concerning that situation? That's where faith comes in. And he said, this is the faith, that kind of posture, that kind of attitude. He said, that is what overcomes the world. This is what overcomes the world. So faith doesn't deny facts. I don't know what you are struggling with or you are faced with tonight. Minister, you were saying it earlier on. No matter where you are, see the word of God. Against, the Bible says, Abraham, against hope, believe in hope. See the word of God as the one that can help you overcome. So when you are praying, when you spend time with God in prayer, you are not whining, you are not complaining, you are praying out his will. And he says, this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So prayer is communication. It is communication. We commune with our Maker. Prayer is fellowship, is relationship. Prayer is commitment or commandment. As it were, we are commanded to pray because prayer gives us the confidence that we are overcomers. So what do we do in the place of prayer or at such a time as this? We commune with God. We look for that direction. Things are happening around us. So we spend time praying the will of God in this situation. So there is communication. And in the bid to do that, we fellowship. We are walking in relationship. I mean, most times when people talk about prayer, it's just something that they do when they are in problems. No. Prayer is fellowship. It's fellowship. Prayer is also a commandment. Men ought always to pray. You don't pray when you get into trouble. It's already too late. You don't start learning how to swim when you are already in the midst of the ocean. No. So prayer is a lifestyle of the believer. Prayer is dependence on God. I think I just need to bring back all these basic things. Because a lot of the times when life hits, what people are looking for are the high-end thing. One supernatural, magical intervention. No. What it is simply, if it's God. You don't start speaking grammar. All the kids here, they don't start speaking grammar. That the pericula or the circles of the inner working or the inner deep part working. No. They have to start from learning A, B, C. And if they can learn those 25 letters, They are able to put sentences together. They can do the peripheral of the innermost curriculum or the curriculum or the peripherity of the curriculum later on. But the truth is that the basic things are the essential. Those basic things are also essential to our faith. Spending time with God. We can know His mind. We can know His will for our life. We can know His plan, His purposes. And then we can pray ourselves into alignment with those will and plan. And then we can get results in prayer. So prayer is not something we do when we run into problems. You know, we don't do it out of ritual. It's our lifestyle. Later on, you will see where Jesus said, "You are the prayer." He said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." You are the temple of God. So you are the prayer. So prayer is joining forces together with the Holy Spirit. Because the truth is, when we pray, our spirit knows many things that our mind doesn't know. Our spirit man can pick many things that your mind does not know. So prayer gives us that access into the supernatural. And I will say something here tonight. You can check it up. God is not in control of this world system. Because if He is, then all things will automatically align. You know who is in control? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible talks about the prince of the power of the air. They control the system, the structures. And so, how do you do? There is victory for us in Christ. And if we are going to enforce that victory, we must learn how to pray. Exercise our authority in the place of prayer. Can we read together Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2? Is it possible? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He said, "And you He has made alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2. He says, "In which we once walked, according to the course of this world." He said, "According to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil. He said, "The same spirit that now walk in those who don't know Christ." Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So when we pray, we are joining forces together with the Holy Spirit to bring the will of God come to pass in the heart. So there are rulers of this cosmos system, the one that we live. But through prayers, we pray out the will of God, we rule out their influences, and then we establish the kingdom culture to reign. So if you know what we do in prayer, we are literally uprooting unrighteousness, and then we do not just leave it like that. Because if you leave it like that, things can come back and grow, weeds can come. But we also plant. We plant righteousness. We plant favor. We plant increase. We plant salvation. And that's the only way the will of God can come to pass on planet Earth. So there are rules that guide prayers. There are rules. And we will start with one of those rules tonight. But before I go into it, I need to also emphasize, we must learn how to pray effectively. We must. We must. We must learn. Every believer must learn how to pray effectively. In James chapter 5, verse 14, it's not prayer. It's not just prayer like that. But he says, the effectual fervent prayer. Effectual fervent. It has to be rooted in the word of God. That's what makes tremendous power available. And that power is able to undo things. So it's not just prayer, 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 prayer. No, it's the effectual fervent prayer. Effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man. That the one who has a loving relationship with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes tremendous power. Amplify says, 5:16, please. 5:16 in Amplify. It says, "He makes tremendous power available." I want us to look at Amplify. 5:16. Look at it. It says, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working." So if you need to apply it to healing, it becomes dynamic to healing. If you need to apply it to chaotic situation, in a community, in a state, in a nation, it becomes, it's dynamic in his working. So he's the effectual father. So every believer must learn how to pray effectively. What am I saying? This is a room tonight. You know, we can play basketball in this room. It's still a game, isn't it? Respond to me. We can play football in this room, isn't it? And it's still a game. We can play badminton in this room and it's still a game. But you can't apply the rule of badminton to football. Neither can you apply. We can mark this out and play lawn tennis. We can mark this place out and play golf. We can turn this place into a golf field. But there are rules. Even though all of it are games, all of it are things that help us for recreational purposes, but there are rules that are applied. So there are rules. So that's why we are teaching on these different kinds of prayer, because there are rules that apply to each one. So it's not just prayer. You know, we have come tonight, let us come and pray. So everybody stand up, prayer in Jesus' name. No, it's much more than that. There are rules. What are we praying? So there are nine that the Bible talks about, at least we can pick from. So we start with the first one tonight, the prayer of faith. How does it work? How does it work? There is prayer of faith. There is prayer of commitment, consecration to the Lord. And you know, if we are praying that prayer, for example, take my heart, take my life, let it be consecrated unto thee. You know, it's a posture of yielding ourselves, yielding our will. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God. So, there is a prayer of faith, which we are looking at tonight. Secondly, there is a prayer of commitment. We will look at it in weeks to come. There is prayer of agreement. Can you see the difference? You will see the difference spread out. So there is also prayer of consecration. There is prayer of intercession. We lump everything to be intercession, but it's not. There's prayer of intercession. We are standing in gap on behalf of other people. We are not praying that for ourselves. We are standing in gap on behalf of other people, on behalf of nations. There is also prayer of supplication. There is united prayer where everybody lift up their voices to the Lord. And then there is prayer of praise and worship. We just had one just before we asked it. So we picked up the song, and every heart of the people in this room connected to God, and there was worship that flows from our heart. And if we make any agreement and make a demand during such things, God, we have access already. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. You know, when we understand rules, these rules of prayer in different kinds of prayer, they are like access codes. So if this room is locked, is electronically locked, and we have issued access code to everyone, which is your thumbprint, all you just have to do, you don't stand there and start praying in tongues. You just apply your thumbprint, and then he opens the door for you. And the way we probably set it is that everyone must apply their access code. It's the same thing. Every form of prayer has its own role. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. But before we start, you see, the only place to learn the skill of prayer is in the place of praying. The only place to learn the skill of prayers is in the place of praying. So you can't be a believer and say, I don't want to pray. You can't be a believer and say, oh, this prayer thing, sir, I don't understand it. No. You can't be a believer and then abdicate that responsibility to somebody else. You know, you hear people giving public testimony. They say, my mother is a praying mother. What are you doing? Now that you have been raised, what are you doing? What have you doing? Oh, my grandfather used to pray very well. What are you doing in 2022? Yeah, they were able to develop their skill and in the place of prayer. So what are you doing? You say, oh, that prayer thing is not a thing. It's a life. It's a lifestyle. These are things we say. A lot of people don't pray until they get to church. A lot of people don't pray until somebody has volunteered to pray for them. And in our days, a lot of people, they pay money to to be sustained in prayers. These are things that you see. So please understand the place of prayer. The only place to learn the skill that is in prayer is in the place of praying. Prayer should be natural to us as our daily activities. What are the daily activities? You wake up in the morning. What are the daily activities? You wash yourself up. What are the daily activities? You eat by yourself. What are the daily activities? You walk around by yourself. What are the daily activities? You run. You think by yourself. So prayer should become natural to us. What does it take you to think? You think. Is that not it? What does it take you to eat? You eat. As long as there is food, you eat. What does it take you to breathe? You breathe. If you say you are not going to breathe, you're on your way out. So you breathe. So what does it take you to maintain communication, fellowship with God, direction, communion? You pray. You spend time with Him. You spend time with Him. And you can allow, because for the believer, we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. So He's waiting. He's there. But for most believers, it's in active mode. They never utilize it. No, you can't be utilizing it once in a week. He's your friend 24/7. You can't ignore Him. He wants to lead you. He wants to direct you. He wants to guide you. And so, how do you cultivate fellowship with people? By cultivating fellowship, which means you interact. You talk to the person. You fellowship with the person. You commune with the person. And then when you commune, you get used to Him the way He speaks. And you know the basic thing which I have said, even if it's all that you can get from this message tonight, please get it. You are expect to be led by the Spirit. Expect to be led. And the only way you can be led by the Spirit, if you consistently study the Word of God and then you pray. Pray. There is no way you can study the Word, you can meditate in the Word of God, and you are looking for prayer points. There's no way. There's no way. So it's very important that there are rules. Please also understand, I said prayer should be as natural as our breath. When people see you, they should see prayer. And that's the truth. You know, I've had people say, I don't know whether I get bad luck. I don't. Because the aura out of your life as a believer is something that attracts. Psalm 5 verse 12 says, God surrounds the righteous with favor as a shield. I am not lucky. I am graced. I am covered with the grace of God. So when you see me, you see God. And that's the testimony of every one of us. I can travel anywhere I want to travel to. Out of the 220 million Nigerians, I'm not the one that the kidnappers are looking for. It's your faith. If I enter into a room and 500 people have applied to a job, if I really, really desire by faith, the favor of God has the capacity to single me out. The same thing goes in every area of our lives. Please, let's understand it. Please, 1, 2, 3 things you must also know. A successful prayer life is built on the Word of God. God doesn't answer your prayer, He answers His own prayer. He said, this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to His will. So you will know that there are areas of needs in our lives. Sometimes it's health, sometimes it's revival, sometimes it's finances, sometimes it's direction. The Word of God covers this area of life. And so when we are used to it, then we are able to see the mind of God concerning us. When you are praying, when you build your persuasion, you are not begging. You are reminding God what He has said about you, concerning you in His Word. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Is this place too cold? Some people are sleeping. If it's too cold, let them readjust the AC. Please. Number one, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Please understand that. It's still a preamble. A successful prayer life is built on the Word of God. And if you are not sure that God answers prayer, you won't get much answers. If you are not sure. There is no, that's why I say it's not, you know, we can become so religious about these things. Some things are happening in our nation. Everybody is being kidnapped. But when you are today, prayer. We won't get anything out of it that way. We won't, because we are praying, we are just uttering words out of fear. And fear has torment. And all through that prayer session, it can be 10, it can be 15, it can be 30 minutes. What somebody is fixating on is that his journey to Ijebu Ode tomorrow morning. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can't see how a kidnapper will kidnap the Holy Spirit and me together. It's the truth. It's where you see it. If you walk, you are walking through a business idea, you'll be spending nights working on it. You have the Holy Ghost who is inspiring you. There is no way that business will fail. So if you are not sure that God answers prayer, you can't get anything out of the prayer conversation. You can't. You can't. And this prayer conversation is DIY. You are to build your fellowship with God. You are to build your communion with God. You are to build your persuasion in the Word of God. I can't build it for you. That's why sometimes, I mean, you might have heard me say it, or people have said it around me. If you said, I should pray for you, I asked you the question, what is it that you should pray, and we should need to pray about? Or you asked me to agree with you. So if I asked you the question, I said, do you have any scripture? That's my next question to you. Because there is no basis for agreement if we can't hold on to God's word. There's no basis for agreement. So do you have anything? And so when you have it, so effective prayer life, successful prayer life is built on the word of God. Faith is involved with those nine aspects of prayer. Faith is involved. You have to have faith that God answers prayer. Hebrews 11:6. He who comes to God must believe that he is. That's not the end of the story. And then he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you don't believe God answers prayer, then you don't pray. Don't spend time. Don't waste time praying. Or whatever you choose to do in the name of prayers. If you don't believe that God answers prayer, there's no need to say you want to pray. So, what is prayer of faith? I think we are making good progress. What is prayer of faith? Prayer of faith is a prayer, the kind of prayer that changes things. It changes things. And if anything is going to make any significant change, you have to take your time. It's not something you rush into. Prayer of faith, you don't rush into it. There are steps. There are rules that guide it. Prayer of faith involves, number one, asking. Asking. So if I'm faced with a situation, except I have built persuasion in God's word on that particular situation, I mean, we take an aspect here tonight, and I can tell you my own personal experience about it. So I will ask you to give me one aspect, and we quickly look at it. Aspect of life. It may be health, it may be finances, it may be favor, and then we look through the word of God how to build persuasion. So prayer of faith involves asking. You are asking who? God. Not human beings. You know, it's very easy to tell people, Lala, pray for me. Lala say, I'm praying for you, man of God. He said, okay. And I go. I say, Lala is praying for me. I'm just deceiving myself. Because Lala hasn't prayed for himself. So why will he pray for me? Do you understand? We just like to form religiosity around some of these things. PG, please, I hope you are praying for me. What should you expect his response to be? I'm praying for you now, Pastor. There is no problem. But even you have not even, what are you praying for me for? Praise God. You know, Amos 3:3 says something. He said, can two walk together except they agree? So if you are doing prayer of agreement, I'm jumping my head. But it's between you as an individual before God, that person as an individual before God, and then there is a point of agreement. What are you trusting for? A partner, a life mate. So that person must build persuasion, that God can actually help and guide somebody to get a mate. The other person might. So when we say we are agreeing, we are praying the prayer of faith, we have persuasion in the word of God. Isaiah 34:17 is one of those persuasions, if in case you are looking for a mate. He said, none shall lack a mate. Hey, so if forever, for example, you are 25 years, you are 28 years, and you are in this service tonight, you are saying, oh, I'm trusting God for your husband. You know that your husband is already around. It's not your prayer tonight that we're creating. Otherwise, you have to wait for 20-something years for God to make that husband, put it in his or her mother's womb, and then he has to be born, he has to be raised, and imagine what your age will look like. Praise God. So the prayer in that place, he said, oh God, if you don't give me a spouse, I will die. No, that's not the prayer point. The prayer point is open my eyes to see. Because your word says, none will lack his or her mate. He said, my spirit will gather them. So wherever that person is, I am a candidate. If as a woman, I am a candidate of favor. He said, he who finds me finds a good thing. I am a good thing in the hand of the Lord. And the favor of God is upon my life. When this man comes, he comes now. He sees me as an embodiment of favor. Ah, sharp, sharp. Prayer point answered. So you can line up where they are saying, everybody is looking for a husband, everybody is looking for a wife. Come out here, we will lay hands on you. If there is the emptiness in your heart, that prayer can't be answered. It's not anything, because God will never break his word. You need to build persuasion in his word. So there is an element of asking. And then second area, there is asking for things already provided for in the redemption. So you ask. So you must know who you are asking. Matthew 7:7. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened. For everyone who asks, receive. So there is also the second aspect of that asking. You ask for things already provided in the redemptive package in Christ Jesus. God can't give you another person's wife or another person's husband. It's not in the redemptive package. He hasn't done it before. So if you have eyes for another person's husband or another person's wife, that's long throat. Covetousness. So God doesn't, can you see how these things are? In some palaces, they say, they break marriages and say that this person should marry this person. God is not in that. He's not an author of confusion. So there is asking for things already provided for in the redemption. I want to be a millionaire like PG. God is not going to, if I don't have work in my hands, God is not committed. I can be inspired. But he said he will bless the work of my hand. But God doesn't throw free money. So it has to be that medium of transmission to become a millionaire will be through the works of my hands. Do you understand it? They can pour Gamalin 20, Gamalin 40, Gamalin 60 on my head. If I don't work, there is no need for money. Money is what is exchanged in the exchange of value. Money is a tool. So I have to have platform of expression for money to come. I can confess money coming from now till evening. If I'm not ready to walk, he who that does not walk does not eat. That's scriptural principle. Praise God. Praise God. So the asking must be things that are already in the redemption. One of the things in the redemption, for you know the grace of our God, that is Christ Jesus, in that he was rich, then he became poor. That truth is poverty. You must understand that there is a beautiful of exchange. There is kingdom wealth that is transferable through the works of your hands. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So there is asking for things had already provided for in the redemption package. Number three, there is also asking for things according to his will. asking for things according to his will. When you're talking about prayer of faith, it must be things that are according to his will. God will not answer any prayer outside his word, according to his will. And lastly, it must be something that you ask in faith. Ask in faith. It's not based on the location or the environment that you find yourself. It's not that, oh, God answers prayer in America than he answers prayer in Nigeria. The reason why he answers prayer in America is because the things are there already. And the ones in Nigeria, no, Boko Haram will not allow us to have answer to prayer or kidnapping. And we make excuses. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. So it's currency of the word of God we have to build. So prayer of faith is based on the word of God. Prayer of faith is based on the word of God, because faith is now. In Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14, can we read quickly from Message Translation? Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14. How the prayer of faith works, we see it, is it works basically is that you believe before you ask. You must believe before you ask. You don't pray it out of panic. You believe before you make a request. So faith is now, Mark 11, verses 12 to 14, the Message Translation. He said, ask, and it shall be Mark 11, 12 to 14. He said, and they left Bethany the next day, and he was hungry. Off in the distance, Jesus saw a fig tree in full leaf. He came up to it, expecting to find something for breakfast, but found nothing but fig leaves. It wasn't yet the season for figs. He addressed the tree. No one is going to eat from you again and ever. You know why? I mean, we've learned that in a teaching here, that you see, that's at that particular time. It was particular time of harvest. So they are supposed to be of fruit and evidence. But that thing was just occupying the ground. But the lesson is not because Jesus cursed, because some people have used that to curse other people. Mm-mm, that's not the thing. Jesus cursed it because God doesn't like wastage. That thing was just occupying the ground. So we have the authority to use that. So Jesus wants to show that authority. So he made a proclamation. That's prayer of faith. But look at what happened. He addressed the tree. No one is going to eat from you again, ever. And the disciples. So in prayer of faith, when you build persuasion, Jesus already built persuasion. He had a good prayer life. He knew that God doesn't waste words. He knew that whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have them and you shall have them. He know that when you build persuasion in the world, you can say to this, do. I mean, that's what happened, centurion servant. So he understood those principles. So when he made that declaration, he didn't cross-check it. So prayer of faith, this is how it works. Number one, you don't rush to praying it. You build persuasion in the word of God. So what is it? Is it health? Is it prosperity? Is it favor? Is it victory? So what does the word of God say about those areas that you have a need? So you build your persuasion to the point where you know when you make a demand, you're going to get answer. And then you leave it. That's another thing. What do you do between when you made that proclamation and when you get the manifestation? It's Thanksgiving. Praise God. So let me quickly say, how does it work? Prayer of faith. Number one, you build your persuasion in the word of God. You build your persuasion. You gather scripture. That's what it means. So secondly, you meditate and believe the word of God. You meditate and believe it. You meditate and believe it. And then thirdly, you ask in faith. You ask in faith. You ask in faith. And then fourthly, you thank God for manifestation. You thank God for manifestation. And this is where a lot of people miss it. So when you follow this four processes, when you speak and make a demand, literally it seems as if nothing has happened. So a lot of people are driven back into saying nothing has happened in that area.
So they keep asking over and over again. So the more you ask, the more you nullify your faith. So if it's healing, for example, if I build persuasion concerning healing, and by myself, I entrench that persuasion, and then I join, maybe I get to where they are praying for the sick, I exercise my faith, I should not from that point, because what will usually happen is that, are you sure that you received your healing? The moment you do that, you've lost that thing. So what do I need? Even when the symptoms, it doesn't seem, because that was what happened in that mark, it doesn't seem as if nothing happened until the next day, and they realize that that thing has dried up to its root. So sometimes, when it comes to healing, for example, sometimes it's gradual, sometimes it's instantaneous. And for many people who operate in the healing ministry, they will tell you that those ones that are gradual, they said, when did this happen? He said the servant began to amend at that same self hour that he had a contact with Jesus. I don't know if you got me. So if I keep coming every healing line, it means I have not built my persuasion in the Word of God concerning that situation. If I have, all I need to do, if I find myself in that atmosphere and the symptoms still seem to prevail, is to lift up my hand and thank God for perfection of my healing. Do you get it now? I say, do you get it now? And sometimes, if somebody is on medication, sometimes what you need to do is to continue your medication until you have that persuasion, or until the doctors check you up and say, we are reducing this dosage from 10 to 8, from to 6, and then until no more. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, praise God. So do you get it now? So pick a point. Pick any area of life. Let's look, follow the steps of the world of prayer of faith. Anyone who wants to suggest any area of your needs? Anyone? Business. Okay. Praise God. Isaiah 48:17. Let we read together now. Oh yeah. Isaiah 48:17. So following that step, we need to first do what? Build our persuasion. Where? In the Word of God. So no. Okay. Thus says the Lord. So can you see now that it's God who is talking here? So it means I need to align my will, my belief, into what God has said. What has he said? Your Redeemer. So it means no matter how business go, I can't be stranded. You see, this is how to build persuasion. So I have, this is the mind of God. Then I do the second point. I meditate on this scripture to the point that I receive it as God. It leaves the pages of the Bible. It comes into my heart. It becomes a guiding light for me in business. He said, I am the Lord your God. I look at, if I'm studying it, I look at quotes. Double invited comma there. So it's not subject to condition of any nation. It's not subject to budget it, or what we call all those analysis and all that. He said, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. So that business venture, if it has a name, look at it. I mean, you can cast your mind back in getting this persuasion. How did I start this business? If you probably have some scripture in your heart, bring them out. If you don't, maybe at that point, you need to pray and ask God, Lord, I am already in this. I've done this for 5 years. What is your mind concerning me in this area? So it will help you. Psalm 32 verse 8 is another one. Psalm 32 verse 8. Psalm 32 verse 8. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. It's another passage. If you are looking, starting a business, looking for what to do, Proverbs 20:27 is another one. Proverbs 20:27. Let's just look at this scripture quickly. 20, please help me out. 20:27 said the spirit of man is the counter of the Lord. He searched all the inward part. Lord, there is a prophetic word in Lighthouse. New businesses must emerge. So I need to understand my place. Job 32:8 is another one. You see, by the time you bring out, this is not too, it's too slow for me. By the time you bring out this scripture, Psalm 5 verse 12 is another. I hope you are getting it down. Yeah, Psalm 5 verse 12 is another. So you begin to meditate. And then Psalm 2 Samuel 7:10 is another one. 2 Samuel 7:10. Said, moreover, I will appoint a place. So, if you are running any business, be sure that you secure this word. He said, for my people, I will plant them that they may dwell in their own place and move no more. He said, the sons of wickedness will not oppress them. Deuteronomy 8:18 is another one. So, by the time you read all this scripture, you build persuasion in it. So, whether they are saying, dollar is 700. No, it can't be, but I'm saying that it's hypothetical. Whether they are saying dollar is 700 and you need to do anything, what you need to do is to fill your mouth. That's what Job said. Isaiah said it. He said, bring forth your just reasons. So in your prayer time, you don't fill your mouth with argument. And you'll be shocked at how God can come through for you in the midst of that exchange rate of 700 naira to $1. There are many scriptures like that. Maybe what I need to tell you, just run YouVersion. You have it. Run it. Profit in business. Run it about business. Just run, or rather you just do Google. You see scriptures. Scriptures on business enterprise. People have done so well. So when you gather it, you begin to meditate on it, and then you build persuasion in it, and it becomes your anchor when you go through stuff. And then if you have built so much persuasion in your heart, when life strikes, you will just know one of those scriptures is what will come to heart. And then you can use it to make warfare. He said, the things that you have received by prophecy, he said, war a good warfare with them. So you speak. That becomes the prayer of faith at that time. Because you are not, things has broken loose. You are not looking for Lord Jesus and take, as a matter of fact, no member of this church should pray that kind of prayer. Lord, take control. Of what? Of what? And you know, you say, Father, take control. Father, come and take control. He's not going to leave heaven. He's already on the inside of you. We must pray with understanding. Or you get into a Christian gathering, Holy Spirit, come and take control. He's already on the inside of you. Once you enter into that place, the atmosphere changes. It's that consciousness we must all come to. We carry God. In Matthew 20 something, he said, my house shall become the house of prayer. So that's why you are the temple. Your life must be that prayer. He said, but they have turned it into dens of robbers. The literal interpretation, if you don't recognize that you are a house of prayer, what are those robbers? Doubt, unbelief. We take root in that same place that the Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell in. Did you get it? Can we pick another area? What time is it? Time is up. Any area, any other area that somebody wants us to take? We quickly run through it. Marital relationship, have you? Does anybody agree? Genesis 2:18. Let me just roll it out. Genesis 2:18. Isaiah 34:17. Romans 8:14. Romans 8:16. Proverbs 18:22. Proverbs 3:5. These are scriptures. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. God doesn't choose a wife, he doesn't choose a husband. Doesn't say this is your husband, this is your wife, but he can guide you when you acknowledge him. And once you see, because you are led by the Spirit, you will know. Ojule yan ti ma mo yan to ma yo yan. If you need interpretation, let me interpret it. Can I? It is with your eyes that you will see the pandeyam that will fill you. It's not when they serve it. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. I told someone today, I said, if someone is going to be stingy, you will know before you marry them. If someone is going to be violent, you will know before you marry them. If someone is going to live irresponsibly, I told people I was counseling today, I said, because she was saying, what about these things that men, women are now suffering for man? And I said, you would have seen that trait. The person who is going to be a house husband, you will have seen it. People don't just wake up into this thing. You choose to ignore it. You choose to ignore it. And so when that person realizes that you are the one taking the responsibility, so he ceded it to you and cross legs. Some are even, they buy the car, so the guy sits at the passenger side, put his leg on the dashboard. So Barry said, well, they show you. They all line up the session. I'm just filled with that family that Jerry called that tonight. You know, you have usurped the authority of God. The woman is supposed to be a helpmeet. So it means there must be something that she's helping to do. I need to carry this thing. I need help. But I'm not carrying anything. There is no, you are the one to help me carry it. And then you are the one to put it where I want to put it. I also like that kind of free life. Eh? It's a good cruise. It's a bad one. So, but let's. So, you have all these things. Just build your persuasion. As the person come, no. But when the person come, you will know. Because you already build your persuasion in the Word of God. I hope you know that for those who are looking for spouses, they don't use prophecy to marry you. And that God said that he's your husband or she's your wife. He doesn't. What God does is parade prospects. You choose yourself. You find a wife. Find a good thing. So as the woman, make yourself good thing and findable. The HOD will come. You want to know the meaning of HOD? Send me an offering. After the service, I will give you. Eh? Praise God. But you see, this is the same thing for finances. It's there. That's why he said all things are ours in Christ Jesus. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. So you don't start asking God for, Lord, bless me. He has already blessed you. What is waiting for your discovery? He said, my own people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Proverbs 19:2, for a soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. So there is what God has said. The Bible even says, Jesus said, there are some things that were written about him. So there are things that are written about you and I. And we need to take advantage of those things that have been freely given to us. Father, we want to say thank you today. We give you praise. Lift up your hands and just appreciate it.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,